Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 2 this morning. Luke chapter 2. You might have guessed that that would be where we would go today. Luke 2. I'll be looking at verses 8 to 20. Luke 2, 8 to 20. He tells us, Luke, the gospel writer, says that in the same region there were shepherds out in the field. By the way, the same region means the region of Bethlehem. We'll get to that in a moment. In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Peace on earth is the theme today. And that's something that I hope we would all agree everybody on earth wants, right? Is peace. Now, we should qualify that. And I will. But I mean literally from the ditzy Miss America or beauty pageant candidate, you know, when interviewed and asked, "What do you want?" who says, "World peace," to the most hardened despot, the most gruesome dictator. I believe everybody wants peace. We just want it on our own terms. We want it by our own means. Some people pursue peace through what we might call escapism. They move out to the woods, out to the wilderness. They cut themselves off from the grid and from the rest of civilization, and to them that is the definition of peace and quiet and solitude. Other people pursue their version of peace by means that are anything but peaceful. War, conquest, domination, you might call it serenity by way of suppression. Christmas is historically been a time when people think a little bit more about peace. Ever hear of the famous Christmas truce of World War I? You've heard of that? On a very icy Christmas Eve, 1914, on the Western Front, the war was just 5 months old. The guns fell silent between the French and British on one side and the German forces on the other side. And familiar carols could be heard then in the quiet as the ceasefire took hold. This was an unplanned, unintentional ceasefire. It just happened, and carols were heard. Familiar tunes, but sung from one side to the other in unfamiliar languages. One movie I saw once about this event portrayed a Scotsman on the British side playing bagpipes and a well-known German tenor singing from the other side, Silent Night. Only he was saying Stille Nacht. That's the German word for Silent Night. To the British bagpipist playing. It's an amazing, amazing event. And what happened the next morning, this was Christmas Eve, and the next morning was, as dawn began to break, a few brave soldiers from each side began to peek up over the rim of their trenches and make their way out onto no man's land, as it was called, the middle of the battlefield between the trenches. It was a day of revelry and fraternization, handshakes, cigarette exchanges, impromptu soccer games between people who were just the day before killing each other. By nightfall, the soldiers returned to their trenches, but the next morning something amazing happened, or I guess we should say didn't happen. When the orders came down to fire and start fighting again, they wouldn't. They couldn't. They couldn't make sense of how in the world they were supposed to kill the people with whom they'd made peace the day before. And so, as it turns out, many of the soldiers on either side of that western frontier battle line had to be transferred to other battle fronts because they just could not wrap their head around slaughtering the people that they'd become friends with just the day before. And yet, that was 1914, and by Christmas 1916, nothing like this was even conceivable because of the slaughter that had happened in between. 2 years of killing. Nobody wanted any truce anymore. What is it that can give even bitter enemies the will to pursue peace? The will to overcome that which separates one from another. I say it's got to have something to do with the fear of God. Now, of course, there are hot spots in the world today, places where open and armed hostility is taking hold and people are dying. That's out there. But in our context here, it's more of a pressure cooker than an open fire. We boil, we seethe, we simmer, and then we repeat. It's politics, right? It's family dynamics. It's disagreement and distrust. It's perception versus perception, with little to no interest in working to discover whether or not those polarized perceptions have any basis in reality or in truth. So what we have is something that may look like peace, but really isn't. In most cases, it's a pretend peace. We may not go about our days killing one another, those in our society with whom we disagree, thank God. But can we really call it peace? And if it's the case, and I believe it is, that in our own households we live often in this state of pretend peace, how much more true is it in the whole of society? If Cain and Abel, the first two brothers, the first two siblings in the world, couldn't figure it out without one killing the other, why would we think humans would have evolved or advanced to a place where that's no longer happening? Why would we think today we could do it any better Cain hated Abel, and he killed him, not because he was ignorant of God's glory, but because he willfully chose to disregard God's glory and do what he wanted. The angels on that first Christmas night brought a message of peace on earth. That was their message. But I want you to know, it wasn't a mere sentiment of peace. It wasn't just a gesture of good feeling. Be calm. Have a tranquility of mind and of heart. No. It was an offer of peace. It's a specific message of a specific peace on specific terms. There's nothing generic about it. The big idea today is this: finding peace starts with receiving peace. Luke tells us in verse 8 that in the same region of Bethlehem, shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over their flock. You may think, well, oh, is it? I mean, that's just so quaint, bucolic. Those gentle shepherds out there, it's quiet, stars glistening, and sheep are just kind of lying out there. It wasn't quaint. Shepherds were out keeping watch over their flocks precisely because it wasn't peaceful and quaint. Some of our favorite Christmas songs aren't exactly helpful on this point in describing this scene. Nothing in the scriptural accounts of this scene suggests peacefulness. Everything suggests rather a tense watchfulness. Those are different things. Wild animals constantly lurked in the shadows just beyond the flickering firelight around which the shepherds were sitting, just waiting, hungry, ready to pounce on an unsuspecting sheep. And not only that, were the shepherds keeping watch because of the wild animals, they were keeping watch because of sheep-stealing bandits who would patrol the fringes of their pastures, snatch away sheep as well, and take them, make them part of their flocks. To be a dozing shepherd was to be an irresponsible shepherd. This was a tense, watchful scene. Don't mistake agrarian for peaceful. Remember, the greatest warrior king Israel ever knew honed his chops watching and defending sheep on these very same fields. Luke says in verse 9, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." The passage breaks down most naturally into two parts: revelation and response. Revelation and response. And actually, I mean, those are pretty helpful categories for describing the whole of the Christian life, aren't they? Revelation and response. We have God's revelation both in creation, the created order around us, and also in Scripture. And we are called upon to respond in obedience and worship to the revelation that God has given us. The revelation by the angel here comes not with words and meaning at first, but as Luke says in verse 9, it comes with the glory of the Lord shining around them and filling them with terror, great fear. Let's be clear about one thing. This angel might have brought a message of peace on earth, but peace was not the shepherd's first response upon seeing the angel. It was terror. This is a warrior spirit being, illuminated by the very light of heaven, the very light that emanates from God Himself, clothing this warrior spirit being. Dispatched from heaven to this rocky Judean hillside. Whatever tenseness the shepherds might have felt over wolves or bandits beforehand, crank that up to about 11. And that's where they're at when this angel shows up. The angel has to tell them in verse 10, verse 11, "Fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Good news is the only thing that's ever really been able to sufficiently calm and comfort the peaceless heart. Only good news and the joy that it brings can comfort a distraught soul in a distressing situation. And for all the distressing things that a soul might face, and there are plenty of them, aren't there? The very best good news that the world will ever know is for the very worst condition that the human soul can ever experience. And that is separation from our Creator. Estrangement from God by way of our sinfulness. Like fingers and toes kept unprotected out in the cold for too long, the soul cut off from God can begin to grow numb to that estrangement. Can begin to lose the feeling of that spiritual lostness. You see, through life's distraction, we lose sight of the fact that we're not at peace with our Creator. And life is always throwing us distractions, distractions upon distractions, layers of distraction. But God is patient. He's patient. He made His offer of peace in real time, in history. The angel says in verse 12, "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." God made His offer in time. And that offer still stands. As long as we have breath in our lungs, we can receive His offer. And isn't it wonderful that God has made this offer in a way that's accessible to us? It's always been accessible. Not everybody gets access to a newborn prince in a palace, do they? But anybody can walk up to a stable. Not everybody can get past a gate to a cathedral, to a palace. But anybody can walk up beside a manger. God's offer of peace has always been accessible. You ever feel like true peace is unattainable? Like it's just out of reach. You've been trying for it, striving for it, longing for it. You just can't ever find that peace. Well, it is unattainable. It is inaccessible and unavailable if we're seeking it on our terms and if we're seeking it by our means. But God's peace is attainable. He's done all the work of pursuing you and me. He closed the gap and couldn't be more happy or more eager to see each of us receive His offer of peace. He's so eager that He makes a big deal out of it when it comes. You ever notice when car lots have a real big sale going on, they go all out, don't they? Pull out all the stops. They get the dancing inflatable gumbo character out there. Gumby. They get that guy out there. They get the big giant placards. They even prop open the hoods of the cars and they put the big S-A-L-E placards under the hoods of the car. Kyle used to work at a car lot. Did you ever have to help with getting set up for the big sale? A little bit? Yeah. I've seen some, they even turn all the hazard lights on the cars right out by the curb to get your attention. It's a big deal. I swear there was a furniture store when I was a kid that went out of business like 8 times. And everything had to go every time. It's a big deal when we've got an offer. And it is a really big deal when God wants to offer you and me peace. He calls forth the angels. Suddenly there was with the angel, not one angel now, but a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." Revelation, it's an offer. Fireworks, big deal. As God is worshipped and glorified in the highest heavens, He extends an offer of peace to the citizens of earth. The troubling part of the angel's song, though, is not the glory to God in the highest part or the peace on earth part. It's the among those with whom He is pleased part. Or as in some translations, the goodwill among men part, or the peace to those on whom His favor rests part. Or you got the classic King James Version, the goodwill toward men part. That's the tough part. That's the eyebrow-raising part. Well, what does that mean? Why all the different renderings? Is this offering for everyone or just a select few? Yes. Let me explain what I mean by that. God's offer of peace is available to everyone. In the same way that big sale at the car lot or at the furniture store is available to everyone. But not everyone is going to pull in and become a customer. So in that sense, it's for everyone. God's offer of peace is available to everyone in the sense that everywhere the gospel goes and is proclaimed, the offer of peace with God through Jesus Christ is made available. However, though it's available to everyone, God's offer of peace will not be received by everyone. And this is where the response part comes in. Got revelation and response. Think about the shepherds again. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over here to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They acknowledged the revelation. They acknowledged that it came from God, even though they didn't see God. They saw an angelic being and then beings. They knew it was the Lord that had brought this message to them. "Let's go see this thing that's been made to us. Let's check it out." And they go in haste and they find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. The revelation was true. Just as the angel had spoken. Everything was as the angel had spoken. There was the baby. There was the swaddling cloths. Here's the manger where the baby lay. And here's the mother and father. Everything was spot on. And when they saw it, Luke says, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. They shared the revelation then. They revealed the revelation that had been revealed to them, to Mary and Joseph. The presence of the baby in the manger validated the angel's word to them. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. And as if giving birth to Jesus, as if conceiving by the Holy Spirit Jesus, and then giving birth to Jesus wasn't enough, the shepherd's testimony further verified all that the angels had told Mary and had told Joseph. And we read, but Mary treasured up all these things in her heart and pondered them. Now some might say, well, if angels showed up and told me where to find a miracle baby, I'd probably go look too. And I'd believe it when I saw it. Well, okay, that's not going to happen. Again, it's already happened. It's been shared with you. It's been told you. You've heard this story. It isn't going to actually happen again, but it did happen. It happened in real time. It's recorded for us in Scripture. It's been shared with you now. Faith in God, responding to Him, is not about seeing something with our eyes. What does the Apostle Paul say? How does he say faith comes? Romans 10, faith comes by hearing the Word of God. The great question that Christmas poses is, will we believe what we've heard? That God has extended a peace offer to sinners like us. Will we respond to the revelation of Jesus Christ, conceived, born, lived, crucified, buried, raised, ascended, and returning? Will we respond to Him? All of these things God has made known to us in discernible words, discernible sentences in the Bible. All of these things, we as His people now, who have received this and have responded in faith to it, we are responsible to take to the nations so that they might then have a chance to respond. Let's let the fact that the shepherds saw the angels be sufficient for us. You and I won't see angels descending and singing glory to God in the highest. We're not going to see that, but the shepherds did. It's been written down for us, handed down for us, preserved for us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's let their revelation be sufficient for us. Let's not demand the same for ourselves if we're going to believe it. God's offer of peace is a big deal. The arrival of His Son in the flesh is the biggest deal of all. He is the peacemaker, the redeemer, the sin forgiver. This is angel-worthy stuff. This is multitudes of angels-worthy stuff. It's also faith-worthy stuff for us, for every person. And so that's the great question, is will we receive the revelation? Will we respond in faith? And the shepherds returned, the passage says, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. What will be your response to God's revealed offer of peace? Have you already received Jesus as your Lord and Redeemer of your life? Great. If so, that is awesome. But I would ask you, are you living daily in the peace that His blood provides? Or is there a temptation and an inclination to revert to finding your own peacefulness by your own means on your own terms? Satan will always go after us in this way. He doesn't want us to rest in the peace that God has provided for us through Jesus. He wants us to believe we can go out and find it for ourselves and make it for ourselves. Have you not received Jesus by faith? Let me ask you this. I want you to let the humility and the accessibility of the manger summon you. It is an invitation. Who wouldn't want to walk up beside a manger and see a baby laying there? I'd take a look at that. This is God's baby. This is God's way of saying, I can be accessed. My goodness, my grace, my mercy, my peace, peace with me is available to you. You don't need a secret password or a special key. Just come and receive. This is not a God who's made Himself unavailable, but available to all who would come and receive peace with Him. So stop striving, Christians. Let's stop striving to make our own peace in this world. Let's live in the peace that God has made with us through Jesus. Stop looking for peace in your soul on your own terms and by your own means. Humble yourself at the manger side. Receive Jesus as Lord. Let's return to our daily lives, glorifying and praising God for all that we've seen and heard. This is what we celebrate. This is why we rejoice at Christmas. The Bible never commands us to celebrate Jesus' birth, but why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we give special focus and attention to the fact that Jesus, God's own Son, came into this world in just the way that He did, in just the place and at just the time that He did for us, to bring God's offer of peace to us through His blood. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Let's stand together and pray, and we're going to sing a closing song. Lord, Your offer of peace is so great, so generous and undeserved. You have made known to us in Your Word the clear and blunt facts of the matter, that we are sinners. We are sinful by descending from Adam and Eve. We are sinful by our own will and volition, all of us, and stand justly condemned before You, a holy God, our Creator, who we have violated by our sin. And yet, in eternity past, even before any of this happened, even before You created the world, Your plan and intent was to redeem us from our sin, to make peace with us, that we might enjoy Your presence for all eternity. How great is this offer? We don't pay for it. We don't have to maintain it. We simply receive it by faith in Your Son, Jesus. So Lord, help us. Help those who are listening today. Help us to keep this at the very heart of our Christmas celebration. The fact that You have come and offered peace and made it possible through Jesus. We praise You. We thank You. We pray that our neighbors, our friends, our family members would see the joy and the hope of our lives. That, Lord, we would be those who work for peace in the world between people, because we have found an unshakable peace with you through Jesus. It's in His name I pray. Amen.